Rocking.
From the Shanghai tunnels to the stones of Happy Rock.
It's 101 KUFO.
Portland's Rock.
Welcome to the real world. Death can come for us at any time, in any place. There is only one way to save our city.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. Ground Zero coming to you live from Portland, Oregon tonight, and very happy to be on board with Anomalies, the Anomalies Network, who is now broadcasting us live on the internet tonight through the KUFO stream. Very happy to be a part of them. I can say hello to Olaf Phillips and also Mr. Lobo out there. If you're listening, good to hear from you as well. Thank you for being on board with us here at Ground Zero. Also, we have a new chat room you can go into tonight. You can take a look at what we're talking about here in the chat. And Ground Zero, always brought to you by Portland Gold Buyers. Portland Gold Buyers, want to remind you, the Portland Gold Buyers now has on hand silver for you. The reason why is because we're getting ready to fire those silver bullets at the big banks. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't know what I need to do to shake you, to tell you, and to open your mind, but I want to tell you now, and I'm going to give you the warning now. In France, in Europe, they're going to be doing a bank run on the 7th of December. Okay? That means they're going to take their money out of the bank. They're urging people to take their monies out of the bank. They're going to try and crash the banks there. Now, if they crash the banks there in Europe, you can bet that we're going to feel the domino effect here in this country. Now, I've never steered you wrong before, and I don't want to steer you wrong now. But I'm going to tell you that it's important that you buy silver. The reason why is because silver is a low-risk investment, and it needs to be bought before December 12th. It needs to be bought by December 11th because of what is going to happen on December 11th. And we're going to have a guest on to talk a little bit about that as well. James Evan Pilato is going to be in later from MediaMonarchy.com. We're going to talk more about that. And we're also going to talk about something else. And I think let me just give you the phone number. 971-222-3435. That's 971-222-3435. I suggest the next check you get, 20% of it goes to silver. So if you take that, you can buy an ounce. An ounce of silver is about $30. It was 13. It's gone up to 30 now. That just goes to show you how fast, I was talking about silver, and how fast it's gone up in price. Now, last time this happened was with gold. It shot up quickly. I told everybody to jump on board at $400 an ounce, and now it's at $1,300 an ounce. I don't think silver is going to go that high, but I certainly believe that it's going to go up very high, especially with what's going to happen in Europe, especially what's going on in this country right now. Which brings us to tonight's topic. What do you think we should talk about tonight? Oh, I don't know. What should we talk about? Brian, you have any idea what we're going to talk about tonight?
No,
you don't? It's nothing. It's just a boring town, isn't it? Just boring.
Nothing going on here.
Nothing happening in downtown Portland. Nothing at all.
Nah.
James Evan Pilato is my guest tonight from MediaMonarchy.com. Let's ask Jeff. James. James, is there anything to talk about tonight?
Well, if you talk to, half of the folks out there, no one had heard anything about this.
You're kidding. They haven't heard a darn thing about what happened. What's going on?
But I mean, meanwhile,
just the fog outside, the cold temperatures, the rain. That's all that happens in Portland, Oregon, right?
Weather's pretty bad.
Yeah, I guess so. Not bad enough, though, to go and see a Christmas tree light up, right?
Yep.
And maybe a fireworks display, too, right?
Big fireworks. Potential fireworks.
Potential display. Fireworks display, right?
Potential being the operative word there.
Yeah, potential. tonight on the show, I guess, I mean, there are a lot of things we're going to talk about tonight on the program. What we're going to talk about, now we can go on the air, we can talk about terrorism, which of course is the thing that kind of happened here in Portland a couple nights ago, an attempted terrorist attack. But, you know, let's tell the truth here. What it was is the FBI basically thwarted their own bomb attack, pretty much. Would you agree with me there, James Evan Pilato?
Absolutely. We were saved by the FBI from
a bomb.
The FBI.
Yeah, pretty much. They created the bomb. They they got some idiot, what I call the short... I'm calling him the short bus jihadist. The guy had no clue.
But that's the commonality that you'll see in a lot of these terror busts, is that you have people that, by the Fed's own admissions, are generally more aspirational than operational. You have people that apparently couldn't put it together on their own. They have to be funded and fostered and shepherded every step of the way by the Feds.
So, James, I want you to tell me. You know, since you're the guy who's the data miner, and you're the guy that does the news. I mean, I steal a lot of good news from you. I admit it. And you steal a lot of good things from me, too, because we love each other. We're brothers. So tell me the story about what happened Friday night. Can you tell me the story, please?
Please, please, James, tell me the story. I want to hear the story.
Can I hear the story, please?
Well, if we just take it from any of the numerous articles out there, let's go to rawstory.com. FBI apparently set up U.S. teen blamed for fake car bomb. Boy told undercover agents he could get a gun because he's a quote-unquote rapper. Authored article containing jihad workout tips. A Somali-born American teenager was apparently set up by federal law enforcement officials who posed as radical Islamic figures and lured the young man into a plot he would believe would lead him to detonate a car bomb at an Oregon Christmas tree lighting ceremony. The bomb.
Oh, Tannenbaum. Oh, Tannenbaum.
The bomb provided by FBI agents was inert and did not pose a threat to public safety.
Can you please define the word inert, please? Inert means what?
Dead.
And dead bomb.
Nothing.
Fake bomb. I've been reading. The reason why I'm being so sarcastic, why I'm being such an ass, is because I've been reading blogs today. I've been reading blogs since Friday. I've been reading the comments in, like, K2 and CNN, and I've been reading all the comments about this special needs jihadist that we have here in Portland, Oregon. I'm hearing all the hate speech about this special needs guy, and I'm really getting fed up because people are not reading the story about what happened. They shouldn't be pissed off at this kid. They should be pissed off at the FBI, I think. Don't you?
I think so. And it almost seems the general consensus of folks is that perhaps they took it too far this time.
It's called street theater. You ever heard that phrase, street theater? It's like, why do we have – oh, God. Keep going.
I was wondering, you know, again, sarcastically, why I was wondering what event there would be to bring the naked body scanners and God knows what else to Portland.
Oh, yeah.
And we're talking about trains, planes, and automobiles now for the naked body scanners and TSA.
And naked body scanners at the Christmas tree. You don't know. Grandma could be a terrorist. You got to feel her up. I don't know. I just, you know how silly this entire thing is getting. What happened to the good old days when terrorists built their own bombs and they didn't have to call the FBI to help them out? Whatever happened to those wonderful glory days of yesteryear where the government didn't help out any terrorist, where they did it on their own? Well, somebody please answer that question. Please. Please. Now, tell the audience, Mr. Pilato, tell the audience why I'm so angry about this, because didn't this kid, how did this guy get to the point where he became a horrible, scary terrorist instead of a special terrorist? Tell me how.
Well, I believe he had been funded and fostered and trained all along the way.
By whom?
And from what has been called, you know, unidentified informant number one and two.
Yeah, okay.
And we don't know who those guys are.
FBI.
And those were the informants.
FBI.
Who were goading him along. Mm-hmm. Now, the party line says, well, he really wanted to do all of these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
But he had also been pushed into it.
Yeah.
And a lot of these terror busts, which I think, Clyde, we're probably going to go over in this episode, that this is just another in a long line of a big bust that gets splashed all over the front pages that, of course, always comes well-timed for Black Friday.
See, the situation is this. Okay. And I'm going to point something out that's going to be so hilarious, everybody's going to go, my God, Clyde, you're a genius. You better say I'm a genius. That's all I got to say. Okay. What happened? This guy, this special needs terrorist, this short bus jihadist, basically couldn't figure out that if he sends a letter to Pakistan saying he wants to commit jihad and they don't answer, it means they think he's a moron. He's a jerk, a dork, okay? And so they didn't answer or respond to his emails. I want jihad. Send. Didn't get any response. Then all of a sudden, you've got mail. And it was a unknown responder that said, okay, you want a jihad? Well, we'll help you out.
And that, so the feds were in from pretty much step one and a half.
Instead of busting the kid by saying, hey, you know what? You have the intent to commit a crime. We're going to bust your ass for that. No, they decided, hey, let's just take it a little further. Let's help the guy out. Let's carry it out. Even to the point where in Lincoln County, they went and they detonated a bomb.
The practice bomb.
A practice bomb. They detonated it. Okay. So that reminds me of another story. Remember Columbine? There was a little school in Colorado where the two killers were basically taken out and taught how to set off bombs. Bombs made from propane gas that they lugged around with them to class one day, and nobody said, hey, what's that for? Nobody said anything. Are we to believe this nonsense? Come on.
No.
Sorry, James.
No, of course not. And we
carry on, Mr. Pilato.
Shouldn't go off into the Columbine story, but
carry on.
That's, the commonality between all these stories. So we'll just mention Columbine quickly.
Okay.
Their parents were feds, and they were taught how to make bombs and do violent things by the older kids in the group.
My dad used to take me fishing. And I hated it. He didn't make bombs with me. God, I feel so left out.
And it's really interesting that in all the records and the investigation into Columbine, anytime any of the witnesses mentioned anyone other than Dylan and Eric, the names were redacted.
Yeah.
Because a lot of other witnesses said there were other shooters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They listened to Marilyn Manson.
Of course.
Yeah. No, well, they liked Rob Zombie, actually. That's right.
Or what about the
songs I play on this show? They love that stuff.
But again,
they were Ground Zero listeners. No,
we're joking. You know, we're taking it tongue in cheek.
The reason why I'm joking, it is serious. But the reason why I'm joking about it is just so stupid, because people are like getting all worked up over this short bus jihadist who basically was clueless. As he get this email from, you know, nobody's answering him from Pakistan. So what's he going to do? Yeah, well, he's going to take anybody. It's like going on Craigslist and saying, hey, I'm fat and pimply. Anyone want to do me? No one answers. Then all of a sudden, some prostitute writes back and says, hey, boy, yeah, I'll do you. Turns out she's a decoy, you know. When do you get your clue? You know, when does the clue happen? You know, it doesn't make sense.
I think some of the hopefully phone calls from folks in Portland tonight would be very interesting to get their take on this hoax bombing.
Well, it's my job to basically defuse the dud bomb that's already been defused. I want to point something out, and James will back me up on this. Okay, I used to do a show called the Ground Zero Lounge at Dante's. You remember that show, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. Just to show you a little bit about what I do. I basically tell you, and I'm going to tell you again, that all this stuff is planned out. Everything you hear about is planned out. It's not accidental. It's on purpose. Let me give you a little rundown. This was me talking, I guess it was 3 years ago, at the Ground Zero Lounge, where I basically predicted 3 years ago the situation we're in right now. Give it a listen.
Basically, it's all planned out. It's not accidental history. It's planned history. Once America is firmly entrenched in the Middle East and parts of Africa, with the majority of our first-line units going in to destabilize these countries, North Korea is to attack South Korea, then with America's forces stretched well beyond the limit, Russia strikes at Israel, China's to invade Taiwan. We first laid all this stuff out in a little show we like to call Doomsday and Other Happy Moments. If you give it a listen, we actually wrote this out.
You heard what I just said. I said, after we've been completely entrenched in the Middle East, North Korea will attack South Korea, Russia will attack Israel, and China will attack Taiwan. Now, we've already had that first one happen, right? Where we've been entrenched in the Middle East, and then we have, just last week, North Korea attacking South Korea. Okay. So, and I said 3 years ago, this is all planned, this is how it's all going to go out. Now, it's happening the way I said it would, didn't it? Now, it's not because I'm a genius. It's not because I'm a... I mean, I'm a short bus conspiracy theorist, really. I mean, think about it. But I'm just saying, okay, so, you know, I did this 3 years ago. I said this is 3 years ago, okay? And I guess my track record seems a little good, don't you think, right now?
I think so.
I'm just hoping that all my other stuff doesn't come true, but chances are it will, right?
Well, because now there's so many other things to tie into this.
Right. And so one of the things, too, another reason why I brought James Evan Pilato from MediaMonarchy.com on this program is because James Evan Pilato actually believed in me enough to have me on his program to talk about Ardent Century, Operation Ardent Century. And the reason why he brought me on to talk about that was because I was going on and on and on about this comic I read in the British tabloid called The Telegraph. And what was that called, James?
It was sort of an online and not comic even that it was illustrated. It was a photo illustrated strip that they unveiled, I think, week by week or day by day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called Operation Blackjack.
Right.
And at the time it was rolling out, it was set in the not too distant future.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe we've pretty much elapsed all those dates.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have.
But within that scenario, we have seen things play out
that were in that comic
pretty closely, coming from the Telegraph.
And the thing that was most interesting about that comic, and I pointed it out on James's show. First place I did it was on James's show.
I was going to say for folks that Ardent Century was a military war game.
Mm-hmm.
Military exercise going on.
Exactly. I had pointed out that I thought it was really interesting that in Operation Blackjack, there was a number of cities get bombed. They get attacked by terrorists. And one city that stood out like a sore thumb was Portland, Oregon. That Portland, Oregon was mentioned in this comic book as the city that would be bombed, that would have a terrorist bombing take place.
Alongside New York and L.A. and London and other
mm-hmm.
cities you would expect.
Mm-hmm. And so when I was on the show, I had said that I had did some research about the longitude and latitude and everything that was spoken of in this comic or in this this graphic novel. Well, let me play that clip of me on James's show and how I explained what was going to happen with this terrorist attack in Portland.
They've done their homework because they have some coordinates that you can find on one of their websites where one of the bombs go off. And one of them is in New York, longitude and latitude in New York, and it's just west of Ground Zero, which is where the two towers had been brought down. And then you take a look at the other coordinates that are hidden. They're hidden on the website. You have to highlight them because they're in black. And you take a look at some of the coordinates, and one of the coordinates is Portland, Oregon. Now, I had gotten Google Maps out and Google Earth, and I had focused the longitude and latitude, and the area where the bomb goes off is anywhere between Southwest 3rd and Burnside to Northwest 3rd and Northwest Gleason near Highway 99W. So last night, before I ventured out, because I go out and meet up with my fiance. What had happened was I went out to that area. It's near the train station of the Pearl District, basically there, not quite. I mean, it's just right there. But it's near the Northwest Natural Building, and the scary part is it's in the motor pool area where all the white vans are parked. And in the slideshow, you see a white van with a Viper on it that says NAU that has the bomb on board. So it's pretty ingenious of them to park it in a motor pool where there are white vans everywhere.
Okay, so you heard what I just said.
And that's about a year and a half old?
Yeah, about a year and a half old, me basically saying how the bombing takes place. Now, isn't it interesting? They brought the van in. It was a van, white van.
Yes.
Okay, what was the bomb like?
So, 50-plus gallon drum.
About six of them, right, in the back of the van.
Inert,
yeah. And so they bring the van in, and then where do they take the short, sheeted terrorist guy.
That's actually, you tell me.
They took him near the train station, where I talked about being near the white vans.
They sell the story as though he drove right up next to Pioneer Square.
Well, they parked the van on 6th and Yamhill. They parked the van on 6th and Yamhill, and then they got out, took him to the area that I talked about, the train area, the area near the train station, that entire area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they told him, here's a cell phone number. And then Ashton Kutcher came out and says, hey, you've been punked. I don't know if anybody watches that damn show. I've seen it occasionally. You've been punked. But, yeah, they punked him right there because they said, well, try it again. See if it works. I can just imagine. Can you imagine the FBI agency putting the phone up to it? It's not working, man. What's up? Do it again. Do it again. They're just like going, this guy's a moron. So, yeah.
And it has been all over the headlines. It's been all over Yahoo, all over Google News, mm-hmm. all over the BBC. It's mm-hmm. on the front of the New York Times today.
Right.
It's worldwide headlines.
Right.
And it's the latest terror scare.
Exactly.
And to keep the populace rattled.
Yep.
And what is the quote, or sort of, and I'll just have to paraphrase it, with this, what I'm calling the tree bomber, is that the threat was very real, but no one was ever in any danger.
No one was ever in any danger. Yeah, the president even knew about it. Obama knew about it, too. They said that the president knew.
But yeah. Our own mayor did not.
I don't know if he knew about it. I don't know. I haven't talked to Mayor Adams. I mean, I used to live a block, two blocks away from him. I don't even see him anymore.
I believe the story is he at least claims to not have known anything about it until they called him up.
I know nothing.
Friday night at 9.
Well, here's another thing. Another clip I want to play you. This was about 6 months ago. Ground Zero. Give it a click. Here we go. And the method that they deliver the bomb in the slideshow is they put the bomb in a white van. And so you see me standing by all of these white vans on my website just to show you that a fictitious story supposedly written in England that shows a white van carrying a dirty nuke is hidden among other white vans. Now, it's an area where longitude and latitude have been clearly marked, which shows intent again. The blackjack event, while fictitious, seems to be accurate as far as exact geographic locations and positions is concerned. And then, if you want to even get even spookier, the area that has the longitude and latitude of Operation Blackjack is just minutes, and I mean minutes, away from the steel bridge where back in, I think it was 2007, we were picked by Homeland Security for Operation Top Off. It was a military drill where a nuclear dirty bomb was supposed to be detonated near the steel bridge. It's just minutes away from the location that was written about in this thing called Blackjack.
Operation Top Off. Homeland Security selected Portland to do their terror drills called uh-huh. Top Off.
Top Off, and that stands for top officials. And those drills happened here. That
they happened
folks may remember the black helicopters yeah. and all of the surrounding.
And they happened in the general vicinity of where they took that kid to get on that cell phone and detonate that bomb at the tree. And it's kind of coincidental that the day that that van pulled up to Pioneer Square was known as what Friday?
Black Friday.
Black Jack Friday, maybe? Black Friday? It's kind of bizarre, isn't it?
I think the background to give folks, I think we have to mention the World Trade Center bombing from 93.
Why don't we take a break and we'll mention the World Trade
before
Center
we dive
bombing.
Into that.
Yeah, there was a World Trade Center bombing before the World Trade Center mm-hmm. bombing. A lot of people don't know that. It happened in 1993. Anyway, we have just deconstructed for you our terrorist attack that happened here in Portland on Friday night, on Black Jack Friday night. We talked about it on Ground Zero for years, that this was going to happen, and when it did happen, that's the first thing I got, was a call saying, hey, you think Blackjack was something to do with this? I said, I don't know. But it's just to show that predictive programming does exist, and that we were looking at this comic book and saying, hey, be careful, watch your back, and now it's a reality. 1-800-344-KUFO, that's 1-800-344-KUFO. What is your opinion on this whole so-called terrorist activity that happened here in Portland? We want to hear from you. 1-800-344-KUFO, or if you're listening anywhere in the world right now, give us a call. 1-800-344-KUFO. We've got more coming. Don't go away.
Monday.
KUFO.
This is not a test. It is the future. Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
When terrorism comes knocking at your back door, you take notice. When conspiracy is happening in your neighborhood, you just don't know who you can trust. Well, on November 26, 2010, a day known as Black Friday, people in Portland gathered for the traditional lighting of the Christmas tree in Pioneer Courthouse Square. What they didn't plan on, what they didn't know, is that a white van pulled up near the square, loaded with 55-gallon drums. These are supposed to be bombs. The problem is, the bombs were not wired to go off. They were duds. They were fake bombs provided by the FBI, and they were used to incriminate a would-be terrorist who later was apprehended near Portland's train station. Now, people are just hearing about the attempted terror attack and are expressing their anger on talk shows and various blogs. I need to point out that the FBI actually protected Portland citizens from their own bomb. The FBI literally foiled their own bomb attack, one that they set up to apprehend a suspect. Okay? Now, remember that. I'm sure there's some people with red in their eyes right now that are thinking that I'm a real jerk for pointing this out and that this guy needs to hang in the public square. Well, the truth is, people, this guy, I don't know. Mohammed Osman Mohammed, a 19-year-old college student from Corvallis, Oregon, is the new face of terror today. Actually, the new face of error. According to the FBI, the mainstream narrative, Mohammed was a Somalian who plotted the deaths of people, and he said he was going to have a spectacular show of terrorism. The plot, according to some officials, had been in the works for at least a year. Well, we know that now because I was playing all the stuff that I talked about a year ago. I went to the media, by the way. I went to a number of people and said, hey, is anybody going to pay attention to this whole thing about blackjack? And the Willamette Week contacted me, and then when I went to do a follow-up, they didn't want to talk to me anymore. They thought I was crazy. Well, now I'm not so crazy. I just played you all of the stuff that I did 3 years ago, even on MediaMonarchy.com with James Evan Pilato, who's my guest tonight. You know, and I've heard people say that, oh, that Clyde Lewis, man, he's really good at conspiracy, but he's not too high on fact. Well, I just gave you the facts. James, you were going to tell us about what happened in 1993 with the World Terrorist, the World Trade Center bombing. The first World Trade Center bombing, not 9/11. This was 1993. There was a bombing before then.
February 26th, right. 1993. And exactly. The parallels you can see very easily. And this was essentially another FBI operation that maybe went quote-unquote wrong, where they funded the guys, trained the drivers, gave them the bombs, gave them the detonators, and at the last minute decided to switch out the inert for the live explosive.
Right.
And the one guy who ended up going through with it didn't park the truck even correctly.
Well, he wanted to save them $50. That's why he moved the he put the van... They pulled the van full of explosives into the basement of the World Trade Center, and they told him, park it here, because they wanted to bring the whole building down. Park it here. He says, no, I think I'll save you some money, and I'll park over there.
Seeing this, and this may sound crazy to folks, but we know this, and it's been reported in the New York Times.
Right.
There was an informant, a former Egyptian army officer, a guy named Imad Salem. He was the informant. He thought he was maybe being set up to be a patsy and started to tape his phone conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear those. You can Google it. Look up FBI.
We're not kidding.
John Antisev,
yeah.
WTC 93, Imad Salem.
Mm-hmm.
He taped the conversations.
Exactly.
And said, why aren't we busting these guys? They wanted the operation to go forward.
Exactly. Now, and another thing I wanted to point out. A while ago, I was doing a story about a Christian. And now, while you're talking about the Muslim kid here and whether or not he should hang in the public square, not too long ago, I did a story about a Christian militia group, and they were called the Hutari, or the Hutare. And in case you've forgotten, the Hutare was in the news because they claimed that their mission was to hunt down and kill the Antichrist. And according to their website, the group was preparing to do battle with the Antichrist because Jesus wanted them to be ready to defend themselves using the sword and stay alive using equipment. Well, the FBI arrested 6 members who were from Michigan and 2 from Ohio, which bring the total of suspects to 9. Now, according to their indictment, the Hutterites were allegedly plotting to kill police officers and then kill more people by planting bombs in cars of other police officers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they were hoping that it would start Armageddon, but one thing they didn't know was that there was an FBI agent that infiltrated the group and tipped off other agents that this militia was about to go into action. And the FBI agent helped the militia select targets, create bombs, know what to do with the mayhem. They were basically teaching these guys how to do it. And then when they got them into the point where they were ready to go, they said, no, you're had, you're punked, it's over, you're not going to do it. This is a trend we're seeing a lot of lately. And that's why I think that it needs to be exposed that the FBI thwarted their own bomb attack. It wasn't that, I mean, this guy had intent. Well, they should have got him on intent. The minute he started talking to those guys in the Middle East, when he started sending me emails in the Middle East, they should have stopped him and said, hey, dude, you know what? You're going to go to jail. Why are you going to go to jail? Because I'll tell you why. You want to commit a crime. You're intending to commit this crime. You're talking with people who have the ability to carry out jihad. You're going to jail. Not that we're going to take you, help you, get you to set off a bomb in Lincoln County, then drive a nice van to a group of people are having their Christmas celebration and say you're going to blow something up. That's street theater. It's there to provide a lot of drama. It's there to provide hate speech. And apparently it's there to provide people a reason to go and set fire to a mosque in Beaverton, which I think is hideous. And the president said himself, he says there is no way he was following it. The FBI agent says, oh, there won't be any harm. Well, that's not true. What if somebody got tipped off and they panicked and there was a big rush to get out of there? The whole situation with the mosque. I mean, this is sick.
There was a massive stampede just actually a few days ago in Cambodia where hundreds of people died.
Okay, tell me about that.
You were just talking about what if a stampede, what if chaos would have broken out.
Well, what happened in Cambodia?
I forget the exact story. It was something about supplies. It was some kind of public venue.
And they gave.
It's just to kind of illustrate the fact that while they're saying out of one side of their mouth that everyone was safe, we can see that panic can strike.
Yeah, what if somebody saw the
and
thing
crowds
pull up?
Turn into mobs.
I remember I lived in Utah a while ago, and there was a Ryder truck that pulled up next to the library. It was after there were 2 shootings in downtown Salt Lake, one within hours of each other. A Ryder truck pulled up, and people panicked and said, oh, my God, they're going to bomb us like McVeigh. Now, nobody suspects a white van because they're all singing Silent Night. Huh? You know, they're singing their little Christmas songs, and they're not going to be, you know, concerned about a van, but... You know, I have a friend in Facebook, and I won't mention her name. She's on the TV station here in town, and she keeps going over the what-ifs. What if? And she's right. What if? What if this happened? What if that happened? But, yeah, they're duds, but what if? You know? What if, somebody did panic? What if, you know, they did switch the bombs? You know, it's been done before, like you said, with the World Trade Center.
It has been done before, and I think to, again, remind us that they've practiced all these things in Portland with Top Off and with these terror drills. They've practiced the very thing that is now unfolding, and the very thing that's unfolding created.
You play with fire.
Practiced.
You play with fire, we get near the fire. And I don't want to be near the fire. I love living in this town. I love Pioneer Square. I love the tree ceremony. I love all those things. And I'm not going to allow some remedial terrorist, some short bus jihadist to be the ire of everybody that looks in the paper and sees this guy's face and know that it could have been. They didn't have to drive that damn thing in the middle of Pioneer Square. Once they loaded those bombs, they could have busted him there.
Yep.
Where did they load the damn bombs? Did anybody notice it?
I think it's again something to bring it back is to remember that we're talking about an organization that is synonymous with Hoover and the things that have gone on for decades.
Oh, God.
And you can just, again, Google things like feds ran neo-Nazi group in Florida. Or,
okay. Let's see. April 2010. April. It was back in April. Remember the synagogues?
The New York synagogue.
Yeah, the New York synagogue plot. Okay, these guys, you know, okay, we have these packages we want you to drop off at these Jewish synagogues, and we're going to pay you to do it. And then, oh, here's a story. They're bombs. Well, we don't want to deliver them. Well, we paid you. You're going to do them. You're going to, you know, we're going to badger you to do this. If you don't do it, then we're going to, you know. And then what? Turns out that it was hatched by an agent provocateur that has connections to the FBI. I mean, what is this? Is this entrapment?
It is.
You think it is? I mean, is this entrapment, or are we like up in the night here? I mean,
it's entrapment, but again, the party line of, well, he had the intent.
Well, he did have the intent. That's the reason why we arrest him, not the fact that we're going to keep him going, and if something goes wrong.
Exactly. And you could say that a lot of these guys who get caught up in these busts are poor inner city kids, maybe from broken homes, maybe of low education, and they are pulled along into these stories. And those are always the guys that you see, whether it's the Liberty City 7 or the...
You know, this reminds me of this Interview with a Vampire. Remember when they're sitting there in the audience and all those vampires are sitting there doing a play, and the one guy says, oh, real vampires playing fake vampires in this play. How avant-garde. It's the same thing. We've got a real intended terrorist who, if he had his tools, he could do it on his own, but he didn't. So we provided him the tools, and then when we give him the toys to play with, we take him away and say, you're under arrest. Like I said, man, you know, whatever happened to the good old days where real terrorists made real bombs and we didn't have to have them provided for them. I think that something is wrong here, and I can't put my finger. I mean, if you know what's wrong, 1-800-344-KUFO, 1-800-344-KUFO. I mean, can you figure out what's going on here, or do you think I'm up in the night? You think I'm crazy? I mean, I want to hear your explanation as to what needs to be done right here, because the reason why is because I'm a little bit confused, I'm a little bit angry, and I'm wondering, you know, what's going to happen when we actually take this kid to court and they say, yeah, you know, there's a technicality here. You know, he was entrapped. I mean, that would be another travesty because the guy was intending to do it. And so it's just a mess. Let's go to Michael right now. Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on Ground Zero.
Yeah, hi, Clyde. I was living downtown in 2007, and out my window, I was living right by the Custom House. And it was in the afternoon, and I noticed a couple of black helicopters flying over the skyscrapers, Big Pink, Coin Tower, so on and so forth. And they were hovering. It was like some spy movie, looking in through the windows of these skyscrapers. And people on the street were noticing this, too, and they were looking up, going, what is this? You know, and this was in, 2007, I believe it was in the summertime.
Yeah, it was in August.
And, you know, another thing is that, these blurbs that go out to Blackjack Friday and all that, there are people in NSA that, keep track of all this. And you can just, it's counter-espionage. They go, well, if they think this is going to happen, well, we'll give them a piece to let them think it's happening to make them happy, to make the people think not about the real shit they're doing. Excuse my French.
No. Okay.
And I believe that's what it is that they're just playing it into what the public wants, so the public isn't aware of what they really
are
doing.
Yeah, what it is street theater. It's no doubt. I mean, they didn't have to drive that van, and they didn't have to do all that stuff. And people who were, there. In fact, I've had some people tell me that they were there and they watched it all go down. If anybody was there at Pioneer Square and they saw it go down, I'd like to hear from you as well. What exactly happened? Because it's very vague. I mean, all you got is a guy in suits telling you, well, we basically thwarted this terror attack. And I'm thinking, well, did anybody notice the van? Did they feel a little uneasy about the van? It was at 6th and Yamhill. That's the thing. And not only that, but think about this. We're all over the New York Times. We're all over the national news. I mean, internationally, we're being known for what happened. And, I went into Drudge just about an hour ago or yesterday. The whole story's been wiped off the Drudge report. I don't think any conspiracy sites are talking about this yet. I think that we're the first probably radio show to confront it in the angle that we're confronting it in. And I think that I just noticed that now the FBI is trying to explain why they didn't arrest the kid in the beginning and they let it go for as long as they did. I mean, this is almost a year-long session where they're letting this guy do this, and it was going on the whole time.
Well, I believe that there's just the wolves pulling the wool over the lamb's eyes is what I think. They're just playing into what we, our fears. And they just, they're just rolling it along. Like, as you said, 3 years ago, you mentioned this at one of your meetings.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, and that, of course they probably found out about that. And they go, well, we'll give the people what they want.
Well, I don't think I'd make that much of a difference, but I could. I don't know. Because I think a lot of people think I'm out of my mind. But
well,
I mean,
I don't.
Thank you. But I proved to you that I'm not out of my mind. And then for the longest time, I was shouting from the rafters, white van, bomb, terrorist attack, Portland. It was written about in a tabloid in England that it was going to happen. I announced it. I announced it over and over again. I went to the news. They ignored me like they always do. I mean, I could set myself on fire in the town square, and they wouldn't care. I guess if I asked the FBI to give me the gasoline, maybe they'd give a damn, but now they don't. But anyway, I appreciate your call. Thank you, Mike. Let's go to Don now. Hi, Don. Let's go to Don. Hi, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
Good, how are you?
I think the bigger question really is how can we allow our government to create crimes? It blows me away that, they had this guy a year ago to give him a crime. But they go out and they mold this guy. It's like pulling him from the cave, looking at shadows on the wall, bringing him to the fire to look at the models.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy was completely manipulated from day one.
Mm-hmm.
It's no different than Ruby Ridge when you say to a guy that needs money, hey, I'll give you big bucks for a sawed-off shotgun, and he goes, some greenhorn's going to...
What about the Branch Davidians? You're right on the money. You have your finger right on the pulse. You're right. What about the Branch Davidians and what they did to them?
Exactly. You ride up to my house, and a bunch of guys, I'd never seen those black suits. They look like Darth Vader. I'd open fire in my house. I had no idea who the ATF was. That was an assault on a group of people who are protecting their children,
yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's just bizarre that, I mean, I don't think Portlanders, when they read the story, and you go to any website, and you'll see the hate that's going out to Muslims right now.
It blows me away but you give me $200,000, and I'll give you three 19-year-old kids and make them look like terrorists. And I guarantee you the FBI has spent over $10 million, and before this thing is over, they'll have $100 million invested in putting this guy in life in prison like they did five Somali pirates. For God's sakes, did you see that AK-47? That thing was so rusted and beaten to shit.
No, sorry.
And that's a threat to America.
Yeah, well, they're actually defending their fish is what they were doing with all that dumping going on out there in Somalia.
Yeah.
The other thing is
that we're supposed to respect the institution of the FBI and believe what they say, but I'm afraid that I've had dealings with them in the past, and they are the most scandalous people that you can believe. They make you tell a story thinking they're someone else, and then 3 weeks later, they serve you with a subpoena, and they're the FBI.
Yeah, I don't understand.
If you came to me and said you were the FBI, I would have told you right straight up what was going on.
Yeah.
But you come, and you make me want to cover my ass.
Yeah,
That's the way it is.
I really appreciate your call. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're hearing from people this, and I don't know if... I mean, there are people that understand, obviously. They understand what's really going on. And I don't know, what more I can say except... You know, when you're dealing with bombs, and you're dealing with ordnance, and you're dealing all that stuff, and you have some 19-year-old guy, setting off bombs in Lincoln County.
And if you have the folks, and I've gotten the comments on my site from people saying, oh, well, he's a Muslim. What do you expect? When you get back to, why do they hate us so much? So much of this goes back to the late 70s Afghanistan Soviet situation, where, of course, we goaded the Soviets into attacking Afghanistan so we could give Russia their Vietnam
mm-hmm.
in this Cold War era.
Mm-hmm.
We funded and trained Mujahideen fighters to fight the Soviets for us, one of those, proxy wars.
Well, it's that thing that I always say, too, is I say 3,000 people had to die in the future in the World Trade Center in order to prevent communism. Think about it. They made the deal in the 1970s, 1980s.
And these guys are still around.
Yeah,
and
they're still around.
The guys who were the architects of what went on.
It was 9/11.
Brzezinski,
yep.
Robert Gates. These
yep.
are old school
yep.
insider elites.
And they're the ones that shaped our future. They're shaping our future now. They are in control of all of this. They're making this happen. I talked about this the other night when I talked about Operation Condor. This is Operation Condor 2. It was done on September 11th, 1973.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since September 11th, 2001, we have had this continuing and continuing and continuing where the government's provided those who would be terrorists with the means necessary to create the fear, create the hate, create it all so that we divide amongst ourselves and keep ourselves primed and ready for a police state. I mean, when the TSA is giving you a prostate exam at the airport, I think you'll start thinking about what really is going on.
And that's something we haven't really mentioned at all, that this came right on the heels of TSA theater kind of reaching its crescendo.
Yes, of course it did. And that's another part of what Blackjack was talking about the airports and about how things change. And coming up, what we're going to do, too, is tonight, I mean, tonight's show, we are talking about what happened in Portland. We will continue to take your calls at 1-800-344-KUFO about the situation. But coming up, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you about another form of predictive programming. This is beyond Blackjack. This is something that has been popping up recently, and I talked about this years ago. About these things, but I talked about them in a mysterious sort of way, but now we're beginning to find out just how the terrorists and how the agents are getting their information, and it's done by a very eerie and strange type of tool, and tonight you're going to hear how they get it, because I'm going to play you what they are hearing, and what you can hear is how it's done. Not internet, not iPhone, but an old 1920s technology that we're going to get to coming up, and you're really going to be blown away by what we're about to tell you. 1-800-344-KUFO. That's 1-800-344-KUFO. Tonight, my guest, James Evan Pilato from MediaMonarchy.com. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
Does believing you are the last sane person on planet Earth make you crazy?
This is not a test. This is an emergency broadcast.
We're going to stay on the air for as long as possible.
Thank you.
Clyde Lewis. This is Ground Zero tonight, talking about our predictive programming or predicted terror attack that was given to us on Black Friday. We're calling it Blackjack Friday because of the shows that I did prior to Blackjack, talking about a white van being brought into Portland with a bomb on board. My guest tonight, James Evan Pilato from MediaMonarchy.com. In fact, I first talked about that on his show. I debuted the idea that there would be a terrorist attack, and I basically told you everything that I think was going to happen.
And I think that was something we connected on very early on, that we kind of collaborated and put our heads together on what was going down with the terror drills going on in Portland with Top Off 4 and Ardent Century, and then this Blackjack scenario. I don't know.
I know. If you can predict it, then obviously it's that. I mean, it's not that hard to figure out. Let's go to Mike now from We Are Change Portland. Hi, Mike. You're on Ground Zero. Go ahead.
Hey, Clyde.
Hey, man. What's up?
Hey, I have three quick things for you. I have a few questions.
Okay.
Okay, and then I have a media mantra that we keep getting told over and over again, and I'll end with a literary quote, okay?
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Here's the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who was it that basically fostered this kid that's the would-be bomber, or the TARD bomber, as you call him, for about a year?
That would be the feds.
The feds, the FBI, yeah.
Okay, cool. Who was it that provided the real bomb a month ago for the kid to blow up in the woods?
That would be the feds as well. The
FBI, yeah. It's true.
Okay, cool. Couple more questions. Okay. Who was it that provided the van and the fake bomb that the kid parked near the Christmas tree lighting?
The FBI did. They said that. Oh. They admitted to that.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay. Who was it that drove the van with the kid?
I guess an FBI agent.
Yeah, I don't know for sure.
I mean, I know that I wasn't there. I didn't see it. I'd like to know if anybody else was there.
John Doe number two, probably.
Yeah, that sounds like McVeigh, doesn't it? My God, it's crazy. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
okay.
I read in the Associated Press that they actually had somebody in the van with him as well.
Okay, so it's the FBI, an FBI agent, unknown agent,
so,
yeah.
Okay. So empirically, looking at it logically, who do we have to fear, the FBI or this kid? I mean, who's showing more involvement? Okay.
The FBI thwarted their own car bomb.
Yeah, they did.
Right. I'm so glad the FBI is protecting us from the.
I should have played car bomb tonight. That would have been great. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. All right.
Okay, now the mantra. Okay, reading over this story everywhere I can get a chance to see it, there's this repeated thought thread, or a meme, as it were. Okay, and here's basically the mantra. The threat was very real, but at no point was the public ever in danger.
Okay, yeah.
This reminds me of Doublethink out of 1984.
Well, yeah, and another situation is that while the government, while the Brotherhood or whatever they call themselves, the Ministry of Love, is doing their magic, people they put Goldstein up and everybody's screaming, "We hate Goldstein! We hate Goldstein! We hate Muhammad! We hate Goldstein!" And that's exactly what happened. They're putting Goldstein up as they're the ones that caused the whole thing to go down in the first place. This is Orwellian as hell. It is. We're living in Orwell, Oregon. Portland, Orwell, Oregon. Orwelligan. Something.
Absolutely. And to keep in step with the Ministry of Love, I have a quote from 1984 I'd like to read by George Orwell.
We're in tune. Go ahead.
This is the definition of doublethink: to know and not to know, to be conscious of complete truthfulness while telling carefully constructed lies, to hold simultaneously two opinions which canceled out, knowing them to be contradictory and believing in both of them, to use logic against logic, to repudiate morality while laying claim to it, to believe that democracy was impossible and that the party was the guardian of democracy, and finally, to forget whatever it is necessary to forget. Okay, this is basically what they want us to do. You know, be afraid, but don't be afraid. I mean, that basically, reality is dictated by the expert sources and officials, and us little plebs just have to go along with it. I just don't agree. Any intelligent, sentient being would be outraged right now. And that's basically all I wanted to say, Clyde. And thank you for your time.
God, thank you. That's remarkable. Yeah, I agree with him. You know, I think people should call whomever and say they don't appreciate putting us in this type of situation. I mean, look, a mosque has been set fire to.
That's the update for folks who maybe didn't catch that this morning, as if some sort of retaliation. An Islamic center was set on fire that our young arrestee,
Muhammad
Osman, which, of course, we got to mention his middle name, Osman, yeah, O-S-M-A-N, was also a noted pseudonym from Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, Osman. Tim Osman was the CIA code name for Osama bin Laden. We're going to go to Sue. Let's get Sue on the line, and then I guess we can take a break and come back. Sue, hi, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm all right. The part of things that really upset me is we've had people around here in the small town of like McMinnville, Carlton, Yamhill, things like that, you know, little towns. And they get busted with in their garage with full terrorist making acts, from bombs to guns and et cetera, et cetera. And when come to find out that these guns and all this bomb making stuff came directly from the police department.
Really?
Serious.
That happens.
What's up with that?
I don't know.
So are they supplying these guys with this stuff and then turn around and bust it to make it look like they're doing their Homeland Security job? Or
see, and that's the thing, is that when you have a story, when fairy tales are written, you have heroes, you have villains, and then you have what is known as the fake hero, or the one that pretends to be a hero. He's the false hero.
Yeah,
he pretends to be a hero, but what he's really doing is he's kind of causing trouble for both. And I'm thinking that's what's happening, is that we're utilizing a metaphor of the false hero, and we're putting him and so what happens is we create false heroes in order to make our real heroes look more like heroes.
Right.
I mean,
but
it's like
the thing is they're putting innocent citizens in danger. I mean, come on.
Well, they are. But remember, you know, well, they
these
said
people,
that no one
they're supposed to be protecting us, not
they,
you
well,
know, and it's like
they said no one. They said no one was in danger with what happened at Pioneer Square.
But they said the intent was there. So what's to say that he wouldn't have thought in his head, well, maybe I'll bring along my own weapons or guns or things in case.
See, that's the thing, is what if he was loaded with something else and he decided, well, hey, I've got these, and I'm going to go out in a blaze of glory. I've got some strapped to me that they don't know about.
Right.
He blows them up, and bango, we got trouble.
Right. So what the hell?
I don't know. Call the mayor.
Old school.
Call the mayor. Call the government.
I'm saying we just go back to old school and just hang it.
Okay. I appreciate the call. Thanks. You know, that's an example. You know, Sue is right. She, you know, what is going on? You know, we need to pay attention. And I'm not making this up. I mean, if you think that I've totally gone crazy, they admitted to all of it. It's written, and the AP said, yeah, we took the guy, it went, we worked with him, and we bought him, and he was fully intent on doing what he was going to do, and we provided him all this stuff, and then the dog and pony show came at the Christmas gathering. And it, like I say, it's street theater. And, you know, 1-800-344-KUFO, 1-800-344-KUFO. I want you to call in. I need to know your feelings on this. A lot of people don't even know what happened. I'm really surprised at how many people don't know that this happened. That they kept it pretty quiet, but it happened. And now we have to figure out, you know, whether or not we're going to knuckle to these people that want us to give up our rights. You know, the reason why you're getting felt up at the airport is because some guy wore underwear that had a bomb in them.
And that's a whole other story we don't have time to get into and debunk. But,
right,
of course, he was on the terror watch list. He was let on the plane by a handler.
Mm-hmm.
And this story has all come
without
out.
Without a passport.
Without a passport, on the terror list.
Yeah, and he was let on, and it's like they let him on, and then they apprehended him after he had set fire to his crotch.
Of which he was unaware of at the time. Again, you could look in the story, there were witnesses on the plane that said...
Are you beginning to see how this whole thing is becoming one big, you know... How can I put this?
Well, I think when you think of the time and resources spent on something like this, meanwhile, we're all losing our houses, our infrastructure is completely falling apart, things essentially seem like the wheels are coming off, but we have the time and money and manpower to do things like this, but meanwhile, we have people sleeping on the street, and our food and our water is poisoned.
If you can afford it, buy silver. Buy silver now. Buy it now, because this is only the beginning, and this next hour is going to convince you that this is only the beginning. This is the tip, the proverbial tip of the iceberg. So keep listening to this show, because the next hour is really, really going to blow you away, because we're going to show you more predictive programming. We're going to tell you about spies being arrested. We're going to tell you about predictions that happen in August
that are coming true now. Okay? I gave you the predictions years ago about this bombing. Now, we're going to take it one step further. What's going to happen in the next couple months? Well, we have reason to believe some other strange things are happening. We're going to show them. We're going to demonstrate them. This next hour, tell all your friends to listen because you're going to be on the edge of your seat as to what we're about to tell you at Ground Zero. 1-800-344-KUFO. That's 1-800-344-KUFO. We'll be back with more. Keeping it here, keeping it lit for you on Ground Zero.
Acclaimed gold buying company in Oregon, providing you with same-day cash for your old gold pieces, jewelry, watches, and coins. Portland Gold Buyers is a full-service trusted buyer of all precious metals and gems. Portland Gold Buyers takes pride in providing you with truly exceptional and informative service. Whether you're a retail establishment or an individual seller, Portland Gold Buyers will pay you same-day cash for the market value of your gold. Individual pieces, no problem. Estate sales, no problem. Same-day cash for your gold, silver, and platinum. All cash now, no waiting, no minimums, and get the best price. Call Oscar today at 971-222-3435. That's 971-222-3435. You can shop anywhere else, but you'll always go back to Portland Gold Buyers. Call for an appointment, 971-222-3435. The value of gold is skyrocketing. See what fortunes you have lying around the house. Call Portland Gold Buyers today, 971-222-3435. That's 971-222-3435. Or look them up online at portlandgoldbuyers.com.
KUFO. KUFO. KUFO.
9/11. 9/11.
And the agony.
Leave me alone!
Of being connected to everything in the universe. Ground Zero with Clive Lewis. Why in the Ground Zero? Hot Bath.
Me.
I'm Clay Lewis. This is Ground Zero. Tonight, we're talking about the threat that hit Portland on Black Friday. That, of course, is the terrorist attack. Osman Mohammed. My guest tonight is from MediaMonarchy.com, Mr. James Evan Pilato. I want to tell you that this show is brought to you by Portland Gold Buyers. A lot of people ask you about how to buy silver, what to do. Call Oscar. The number is 971-222-3435. That's 971-222-3435. If you don't remember the number, 971-222-3435, you can go to my website at groundzeromedia.org, click on it, and there we have it on the front page too. 971-222-3435. James, you know why I'm wanting people to buy silver, right?
Yeah, and I was hoping we'd have a moment to mention this, that there quickly is a rogue economist, a guy named Max Keiser, who he and some of the guys from a great economic website called ZeroHedge.com, they discovered that J.P. Morgan is short on silver, meaning they've put themselves in a position to go short on it. So basically, if we all run out and buy silver, we can force J.P. Morgan out of business, possibly.
And in the process, silver goes
through the roof.
Yes. And what you do is you invest now, and then later, you have all the silver, and it's worth more money than it was when you bought it, and it happens fast. We control it. It's our way of saying, hey, we're controlling our money. You know, how many people bitch and moan about the fact that, oh, I have no control. The government has me by the short hairs. Well, not anymore, okay? Not anymore. Go out and buy silver. Do something. Instead of putting a damn placard and going around saying, bring down the Walmart, bring down the McDonald's. Now, why don't you do something for yourself, please? God, we told you. Look, I predicted all this, right? I played it in the last hour, and you heard that I wasn't up in the night. Now we're telling you. James Evan Pilato from Media Monarchy is telling you. I'm telling you. Buy silver. Cash in your gold. Do something. That way you have something to hang on to when everything goes down the toilet. 971-222-3435. And I can't express it any more than I've already expressed it. I mean, you see now what happens in Portland when you get this would-be terrorist to do what he had to do. Let's go to Louie in Beaverton. Line two.
Hey,
Louie, what's up? Good.
I'm glad I'm calling because I've been so upset about this thing about the FBI. I know that they're saying that there was no threat to the public because those bombs were inert. But, I mean, there were six big barrels in a van parked, you know, pretty close to the square. What if someone going to the tree lighting ceremony kind of looked in that van, recognized, hey, this is a bomb, started screaming out, bomb, bomb, everyone get out? I mean, how many families were there? How many kids were there that could have just got trampled in the stampede of people trying to, like, save their lives? I mean, I feel that the FBI was just playing with our lives with this whole thing.
Well, and I have to agree with you. They said, well, there was no danger whatsoever. But I'm thinking, yeah, did you take everything into consideration? Did you? I mean, and not only that, but who's gonna respond and be responsible for this burning of this mosque that happened in Beaverton this morning?
I think it was in Corvallis, because I remember reading that, because I went to Oregon State and being kind of perplexed, because, you know, I know a lot of the students there, or, I mean, you know, I know the kind of feeling of the students there, and they're so accepting. I honestly don't see anyone doing a retaliation thing, so it was, like, really surprising to me.
Yeah, in fact, I have a friend of mine who may call in, who worked with me on the investigation into the blackjack thing, who has a theory as to what is going on, but I don't know. This is just a strange amount of affairs, strange stuff going on in Portland, Oregon. We had the black helicopters. We had the predictive programming in that periodical that was in the Telegraph 2 years ago. I talked about it here on my show. Nobody in the media wanted to talk to me about it. I figured, who the hell do I talk to? Who do I run to say there's going to be a bomb, and I don't know when it's going to go off, but it's going to be brought into Portland in a white van, and it's going to be set off. And it's because of the fact I saw this written about in a tabloid in England. It's just crazy.
Yo, can I say something about gold and silver real quick?
Yes.
Heard that ad.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I heard recently that the Chinese government is actually encouraging its people to start buying gold and silver. So now is actually a perfect time if you want to make a ton of money, you know, return on investment. Evidently, now is a perfect time for it.
Oh, and it's only a $30 investment now. That's the thing. It was 13 a week ago. I told everybody, hey, get in now while it's 13. It's 30 now.
Yeah.
So what's it going to be next week?
Yeah, seriously.
I appreciate the call. Thank you, Louie, for that backup. Thank you. Let's go to Rodney now on line four. Hi, Rodney. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi. How you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Well, I caught your show and never heard it before and had a couple ideas for you.
Sure.
number one, you know, downtown and all that kind of stuff, there's a lot of people afraid to go down just for little things that happen. I mean, just to bring up a funny one from my memory is I went to a Rose Parade. And if anyone remembers, Jim Spag ran around in a Speedo cape with an air guitar.
That was Friday. That was very frightening. I remember that, yes.
That was not cool.
So, okay.
You know, stuff like that. I don't want to take my kids around and stuff now that I'm older. And
well, Jim Spag's dead now. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, I heard he's gone.
Yeah. He probably smells better now than he did when I was in studio with him one time naked. But go ahead.
Good God, okay, I know what you mean.
But the other point I wanted to make is, okay, no one was in danger. Okay, that's what the FBI is saying, right?
Right.
Guess what? They just painted us a target.
Mm-hmm.
They put our name out there, our city. We're no longer safe. We are now a prime target.
And what does that mean? That means we're going to have to give up our rights, huh? They're going to tell us, hey, you're not safe now. We had a terrorist here. You're going to have to, like I said, bend over for that prostate exam. It's happening at the TSA. What does TSA stand for? Touch some ass. That's exactly what they stand for.
Oh, I don't know if it's TSA, but I worked for Huntley out there at the airport years back, and it was really interesting to find, you know, some of the things that would happen. Now,
right.
A little insight on the whole thing here is they would send people from the airlines through your line, through the x-ray machine, with duds pretty much in the bags,
mm-hmm.
to see if we'd catch them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you ever been to one of our local adult shops? They got this thing called the Fist.
Well, yeah, I've heard of it.
I have that in his bag with a grenade. So, I mean, talk about the funniest things you could find. The guy was really blushing.
I can just imagine some of that embarrassing stuff. Anyway, I got to take another call, but I appreciate yours. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Let's go to Doug now in St. Helens. Hi, Doug. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I'm a new listener.
Okay, great.
What I wanted to call about was reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that our government has had think tanks for at least since the Second World War,
yeah.
If not before.
Right.
And it's just a big chess game.
Mm-hmm.
And those think tanks, they figure out how we can stay on top, and they make plans for it. An example would be the Strategic Oil Reserve,
mm-hmm.
and that's so that we'll have oil for our war machines if the foreign oil is cut off,
mm-hmm.
and therefore, we'll still have defense. And earlier, they mentioned a caller mentioned 1984.
Yes.
And there's another book by Isaac Asimov, a series of books
called. Is it Foundation?
Foundation trilogy.
Yes, I read that in the sixth grade. Believe it or not,
the Foundation was an underground thing, organization that would manipulate.
Mm-hmm.
how the real world would turn out,
mm-hmm.
by changing certain events to their advantage.
Did you hear, you are so amazing, did you hear that in order for England to bail out Ireland, they were actually looking for a group to pay them money, and they came up with this group called Foundation X. And no one knew who the group was, but they were willing to pay billions of dollars to finance and keep England from going broke. Because, of course, as I said, now I'm going to say this again, and I'm reiterate it again, they are going to attempt to run on the banks in Europe. China and Russia just dropped the dollar as its currency, okay? So, you know, when you're hearing about terrorist threats, when you're hearing about, the North and South, which, by the way, a lot of people don't know this, but South Korea fired first. Just thought I'd let you know that. We don't think that this isn't going to affect us because what's really sad is I have people that listen to this program that don't understand how economics work. They don't understand how they need to get a hold of something valuable in order for them to survive. When the Weimar Republic fell and the Deutschmarks were worth nothing, those who had gold and those who had silver were the ones that survived. Now, most of the people who had the gold were the Jews. And so they were persecuted against, and they had their stuff stolen from them. But the thing is that you need to hang on to anything precious metal commodity that you can hang on to as we're going through this time, or you're going to not have anything at all.
And that's, I agree with that.
And that's why, I'm telling people, you know, call Oscar. He's got silver. Call him. 971-222-3435. He's even going to work on something where the listeners can find out how they can use their silver, use their money, and stay out of debt. And I'm going to tell you more about that, too, as it progresses. I'm going to be meeting with him soon. He's trying to help people out. When was the first time you heard a sponsor willing to give you something that's going to keep you in money and not take it from you? This is why I find it interesting that people, they need to call. 971-222-3435. I don't want to turn this into an infomercial. I want to get on with what else I want to talk about. I appreciate your call. Thank you so much for calling. There were some other things we want to get to tonight on this program here. Thank you so much again. We were talking earlier about the predictive programming that I had used. This tabloid thing called Blackjack, James, and you and I, we've discussed predictive programming before to give listeners information on what they need to prepare themselves for what is to come. Now, we'd already talked about some sort of a false flag attempt at a terrorist attack in Portland. We thought, why Portland? Even the terrorist said, why Portland? Or the young kid that was the one that was implemented as terrorist said, why Portland? Well, this is why now. We have a target, as mentioned to us. And so what we're going to do tonight is we're going to inform the listeners about what's to come and what's happening. And I already said buy silver. We have another guy back me up on that. We had you backing me up on that. Buy silver or at least cash in a little of your gold and save some of your gold. I give you an opportunity to talk to Oscar for that, and that'll be fine. But in the meantime, I want to point out that there was a TV show that I really like and I follow. It's called Fringe. Now, you've heard of the TV show Fringe, haven't you, James?
Uh-huh.
Do you watch it at all?
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's an amazing show. It's an amazing show. It's about time travel. It's like the X-Files on steroids. It's an amazing show. It's on Fox. They're getting ready to cancel, I'm understanding. But it's because it's revealing a lot of things with predictive programming that you need to pay attention to. And one of the things it revealed was something called numbers stations or number stations. And one of the things that I had, in fact, Matt Haley, who's been on the show before, remembered that when we did a show about number stations, he says, that really impressed me because the number stations are eerie. They're strange. I want you to do it again sometime and find a reason to do it. Well, I couldn't find a reason. Now I have a reason because the TV show Fringe also has been talking about how number stations are being used to get the message out to would-be terrorists, would-be spies, would-be whatever. And you were even telling me that number stations are used somewhere else. Where else are they being used?
In everyone's favorite new video game, Call of Duty Black Ops, there is a scenario within the game where you use these number stations to further your mission.
Now, for those of you that don't know what number stations are, I can't really explain them. The only thing is that number stations have been around since World War I. And they have been used as a method to contact spies or agents. And what they do is they have these agents find out at a frequency on a ham radio or a shortwave radio to listen in. And as they listen in, they're supposed to write down the numbers and then they decode the numbers for a message. Now, what I want to do now is I want to play you an example of a number station. Now, the first number station you're going to hear is just a simple one that's giving off number code. Let's play that right now. Here's a number station sound.
5-5-2-6-1. 3-2-4-2-7-4-9-9-0-3-8-1-3-9-7-6-6-5-2-1-6-9-6-9-9-6-7-7.
There you have it. That's the sound of a number station. It's a number of numbers. And what happens is they give these random numbers, and they're very creepy because the situation with number stations is they've never been able to find out where they're broadcasting these stations. They know of the area, but they can't find the actual place where they're broadcasting these numbers. And so it's pretty creepy when you're listening to this knowing that somebody who's hearing those numbers has a special code, and they're getting a message with one number.
And this is really old school, Cold War era, spy novel kind of things. And this, I think, goes back to when we're talking about predictive programming for folks. The idea that within media, there are scenarios and storylines that prepare you for things that perhaps the elite have up their sleeves. Now, I'm not one who really subscribes to the unified field conspiracy theory that everything, every single thing is set up, every string is being pulled by the Illuminati. There are absolutely elite bloodlines, but I think a lot of them are what I call multi-generational serial killers. And they kind of jostle for position like gangsters would, and sometimes they have to bump each other off. Mm-hmm. But as long as they all keep the game going, they all stand to make a lot of money.
And these number stations are, you know, there's something called the ConNet Project where they actually record these number stations. And a lot of them, they don't know what they're listening to and they don't know what they're hearing. But the more you dig into the number stations and the more you listen to, the more you're listening to them, the more you start hearing some more creepiness, some more weirdness. I'm going to play another track for you now. I've gathered a bunch of them together. I want you to hear, this is what these operatives hear. This is, they get told, go to this frequency, and as you go to this frequency, we want you to listen in because we have a message for you. We're going to do it in a series of numbers, and we're just going to play it for you. You're going to listen to this. And it's just an amazing way of getting that information out. Here you go. Strangest thing you've ever heard.
I think it's important, again, to stress for folks that these are something that anyone can tune in. Anyone with a shortwave radio can hear these messages.
Well, not only that, I remember my aunt, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to bring up the number stations, and of course we had the bombing here and the attempted bombing, and I thought, you know, why did the guy just, you know, why does he use the internet? What an idiot. You know, even when we have these number stations that people are using, in fact, my aunt used to bring over a radio on Thanksgiving, and it was a Zenith radio that got all the bands. And you'd go through the band slowly, and you'd find these scales going up and down the dial, and you'd hear these 1, 12, 0, 6, 4, 2. I was like, going, what the heck is this? And I'm hearing this, like, this clicking sound, and then this strange music, and then I'm hearing the same numbers again, and I'm like, going, what is this?
Yeah, the music scale that we just heard was kind of off, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like, and it runs over and over again until they get caught, and then they up and leave and go somewhere else, and they set it up again. And what's really interesting is while you may think that this is kind of weird and we're doing it just for weird sake, and it is really creepy to be listening to this because we don't know where the voices are coming from. We don't know what they're meaning. We don't know what these numbers are. The thing that's really creepy is that there was a bust, in New Jersey, where these Russians were arrested because they were getting messages from these number stations. And so they wanted to infiltrate our country. They wanted to infiltrate government. They wanted to change the way things are. They actually wanted to bring about some sort of a strange communist type. It was weird.
Well, and if folks maybe need their memories jogged, this is, so a few months ago, but people may remember this as having the super sexy redhead spy.
Right.
And she was the one that was in all the photos and all the stories that, of course, helped sell it like a sexy James Bond spy novel.
Right, right, exactly. Let's go to Sedona right now. She had something she wanted to ask about the number stations. Hi, Sedona, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi. I was wondering how they interpreted these number messages.
Well, what they usually do, and this is what I understand, is that they're told, get a tablet and a piece of paper and a pencil. And then they say, we're going to be broadcasting this message at this time. And we're going to broadcast it around where the BBC's playing and where a sports show is playing. So we want you to kind of tune in between the sports show and the BBC broadcast. And right there you'll find that we're going to be playing, let's say, for example, we're going to play a scale like you just heard. So when you hear the scale, that means the message hasn't come out yet. But then we're going to do the numbers. And then we want you to write down the numbers. And then perhaps I'll send them a telegram or something in the mail where they'll get this telegram that'll just have these words matching the numbers. And so those numbers will mean a certain word or a certain sentence. So it could mean get out now. It could mean we're attacking now. I remember when they attempted the coup on Leonid, not Brezhnev, but who was the guy that they tried to bring out? Boris Yeltsin. They tried to take Boris Yeltsin out of Russia. And when they did that, the number of stations coming out of Russia was just the number 5. And they kept on going, you know, I think it's like Priyat, 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 Priyat. They kept saying Priyat, Priyat, Priyat over. That's how you say 5 in Russian. It's Priyat, Priyat, Priyat. And they kept saying Priyat, Priyat, Priyat. It's just creepy to hear that over and over again. Priyat, Priyat. And nobody knew what it was. It's just the number 5, I guess, meant that they were going to take the leader out. And that's what they were sending out, the message that we're basically taking out Boris Yeltsin.
So it's kind of like in Rwanda, take out the tall trees, just kind of broadcasting that to...
If that's what it is, or if, hey, there's going to be an attack, or, hey, there's going to be a bombing. I mean, there have been a lot of these being sent out from Seoul to Pyongyang. We've also been hearing about a lot of activity going to Los Angeles now, a lot of interesting stuff being broadcast in Los Angeles, being sent from Mexico. A lot of drug dealers use these also. They use these number stations to do drug deals as well.
Oh,
so they're doing this. This is a new type of way of sending out code, and it's an amazing thing that we wanted to share with you tonight.
It is kind of creepy. Like, the voice that you put over the radio, the 5-4, whatever that was like.
Well, let me play another track. I'll let you go, but I want you to give out your radio. We're going to play another track, and then we're going to go to a break, but I want you to play another track. And these are just going to get even more strange as time goes on. We have a few of them we're going to play for you. Let's play another one right now. Here's another Number Stations track for you on Ground Zero.
Thank you. Clyde Lewis.
I'm Clyde Lewis. This is Ground Zero. James Evan Pilato is my guest tonight from Media Monarchy. Tonight we're exploring predictive programming with the numbers stations and what it all means. That last one was pretty creepy, don't you think, James?
Achtung. Yeah, exactly.
That's the Germans talking from Berlin during the Cold War. And kind of creepy stuff going on with the number stations. But number stations are now being used today. Coming up, we'll be playing a couple more. And we're also going to tell you about a number station broadcast that sent out a very strange message that was decoded by an anonymous decoder back in August when they busted those Russians. And it had some information that you may want to know about. And it's just more stuff to keep you on your toes. Keep listening to Ground Zero, 1-800-344-KUFO. That's 1-800-344-KUFO. We'll be back. Don't go away.
At the dome, 9 hours, 59 minutes, coordinated universal time.
Now, what starts with down that dirty?
Communism.
That's good enough for me.
You and me.
I'm Clyde Lewis. This is Ground Zero, 123, the number of stations, with James Evan Pilato from MediaMonarchy.com. We're going to go to Sarah now. She's on line four. Hi, Sarah. Yeah, you're calling in because you just got back from Los Angeles. You worked with me on the case we were doing for Blackjack, correct?
Oh, yes, I did.
So what were you going to tell us tonight about the situation with Blackjack and what you were thinking about what's going on with the terrorist attack?
Well, it was certainly strange to hear it go down pretty much the way you said. You hadn't quite meant detonation the same way, but it turned out to go just like we had read on that site a long time ago.
Yeah, she actually was taking pictures of me standing next to white vans. If you go to my new article that's up called The Face of Error, Blackjack Friday, it gives a link where you can go and see me standing by all the white vans right there in the place where this kid was supposed to have detonated the bomb, correct?
Yes. As I recall, we found it. I went and found it on Google Earth and marked the exact spot. And then we went and eyeballed it together, and we were standing right next to where the Blackjack site had said there would be an explosion.
Right, exactly.
And it turns out that instead of the explosion taking place, the detonation took place within the vicinity.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And, of course, Operation Top Off was in that general vicinity where they actually said a bomb was going to go off there. We had black helicopters in the area, all kinds of other stuff. Now, you were talking about the situation with the mosque, and I was talking with you in Los Angeles about the mosque. And you were saying that you were thinking that it's just part of the way to get us all to hate each other, correct?
It's just awfully convenient. I'm wondering how likely it is that somebody who just happened to know this guy, know who he was, what he did, and that he went to that mosque, decided to go blow it up, and just happened to pick a time when there wouldn't be anybody in it, because people who do things from emotions, they don't think. They don't think to make it a time where there won't be anybody in it.
Right.
It sounds like, and I don't usually get this paranoid, but it just sounds like it's a psyop by the FBI to further their story and perhaps to provoke us a little bit.
Well,
they
I hope one
person goes ahead and expresses his displeasure. Why don't we all go do it, too? I hope we're all smarter than that.
Well, I hope I was trying to defuse the situation earlier, because I'm thinking to myself that if people were to know the truth about what's happening, they'd be more interested in finding out from the FBI just what their motive was to get this kid to do what he did. I mean, what do you think, James?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, this kind of scenario should have people wondering really what's going on.
Right. Exactly. Well, Sarah, I thank you for bringing up those comments, and I hope you enjoyed Los Angeles. I heard you were in L.A., you were at the Comic-Con or something?
Yeah, I was at a science fiction convention, Nerd Rock.
Thanks a lot, Sarah. Thanks for calling in. All right. Bye-bye. Now, what we're going to do is we were talking also about the number stations,
uh-huh.
And I want to play another track of the number stations. We got a few people who want to tell us about the number stations. We'll go to their calls. And then I'm going to tell you about a number station that fired up in Russia recently and what they told us, what this decoder had told us about what's going on. We'll play another track right now. Here's another very interesting and kind of bizarre number station sound.
Victor, Lima, Bravo, 9, 6, Bravo, 2, 9, Bravo, 2, 3,
This is interesting. Somebody was in the chat room. If you guys want to go to groundzeromedia.org and go to the chat room, somebody had just posted, and this is the most amazing thing. You see this?
I can see it from here. Yeah.
Isn't it interesting? Me standing by the white van. By the white vans. They're in the place where this thing was supposed to detonate.
The way that it was put out in a tabloid and the way that it rolled out Friday night. So
that
Clyde,
is amazing.
I just wanted
amazing.
To make the joke that maybe that last clip from the number station, I think it was telling us to be sure to drink your Ovaltine.
Exactly. Let's go to Melissa right now from Dallas. She's calling from Dallas tonight. Melissa, hi. You're on Ground Zero, line 2.
Hi, guys. What's up?
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
I just had a question about the musical skills that they used on the first two that you played.
Sure.
Like, I was wondering if they had any relevance, because the first one sounded an awful lot like a B-flat. uh-huh. It's definitely a B flat scale. And then the one with the German numbers,
uh-huh.
that was definitely a G minor arpeggio with a minor third.
What that was is that was actually some sort of a Swiss, it's called the Swiss Dancer. It was a music box called the Swiss, no, wait a minute. I don't know if I played the Swiss Dancer. I did, and I also played the chimes. So, yeah, maybe. I don't know. What were you trying to think about all this? What are you thinking?
Well, I was trying to think that there's maybe something embedded in the fact
yeah.
that they use the musical scale.
It could be. There's, like, one track that's up, one track that's down, and one of the scales means one thing. If you hear this scale, it means this. Or that's the thing, is that there's a lot of stuff that is packed into, you'd like, if you hear that note, then that means this is what we're going to do. If you hear this song, that means this is what we're going to do. It's almost like if they broadcast a song at a certain time, people know to move in.
Hell, it could even be the flip. It could be that the musical scales are the message, but we're paying attention
yeah.
to the number. It could be any
yeah,
number of
those
things.
I mean, you could be, you know, what was like F-A-C-E or Every Good Boy Does Fine. You know, they did that with the they did that with a scale. I mean, why couldn't they do that with a word?
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, that is so brilliant. God, thank you for calling. That's nice.
Yeah,
thank you. What do you think about that? Thank you so much. Let's go to Logan right now on line one. Hi, Logan. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, how's it going, Clyde?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just calling. We were talking about the whole number station and that what you were saying earlier about how it's been a good way for terrorists and whatnot to send messages secretly, but not, more so modernly, not just terrorists, but also, like you said, drug dealers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
This goes back to what we're talking about with the bombing and the feds. I mean, they can think about, like, cops, crooked cops. They already have their own, you know, coded numbers they use when they talk to each other on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to think about there.
Well, there was actually from what I understand, that I think Klingon is now being used as a... Seriously.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're using Klingon now in the military to talk to each other, and that's what they use for code, is they're using Klingon because nobody understands Klingon, and they don't know that we here in the United States have created a language that's supposedly some sort of an alien language called Klingon, and so they can't decode it. So I'm waiting to find my first number station that is Klingon.
Well, what about dipping Trekkies? They can.
Well, sure. But, I mean, I don't know how many spies are Trekkies.
Well, and if I can chime in, Logan, maybe something that I think you're getting at or hinting at is just the layers of subterfuge and lies and compartmentalized organizations where we see that the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. And what one agency may believe is a drill, another agency may think is a live operation. So
right,
you have this fog of
it.
Patsies and rogue agents and moles. And again, it's all the things that we see in our media and our movies, but we, gosh, never think it could really happen in real life.
Yeah.
No, and the fact of it is it's happening right in front of us. They're not trying to keep it. Yeah, it's code, but they're not trying to keep it secret. You know, we can hear, anyone can hear these things. We just don't know what's going on.
Yeah, we hear them, but we don't know what they are. We hear a song on the radio that has some sort of a strange, like, I was thinking to myself, you know, have you ever heard some of these songs that are on the radio that really don't have any real intelligence behind them? Like some strange, I mean, like, what, Umbrella? What's that song? My Umbrella, whatever that crap is.
Well, and you could just go watch the cheesy teen film Josie and the Pussycats.
Well, yeah. Well, what about Lady Gaga when she does her stupid things and she's like out there looking like some Illuminati nerd or turd or whatever you want.
They do the hand signals.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole different thing right there. That's a cultist thing.
I mean, yeah, they're doing all this occult stuff and it's like they're sending a message out to somebody. And it's like, you know, and it makes you wonder if maybe musical bands are recruited to do this. All right, you're going to make this song, and the song is called Poppy Daka Duga Diga, or whatever. They're going to do it. And they're going to do, like what Kid Rock did, that boom, diggy, diggy. I never can figure that crap out.
Yeah.
I mean, he went from rock to country, and it's, like, stupid.
Well, with the ba.
Can you do it?
No, I'm not going to do it.
Can you do it? I mean, I feel so stupid because I can't do it. But I'm just saying, the ba, the ba, the diggy, diggy, diggy.
What about Cuckoo
Cajou? Cuckoo Cajou, the Beatles. What was that crap? I am me as he is she, and we are all together. Is that some sort of a code?
And the number nine thing, what's going on there?
Oh, yeah, playing stuff. But number nine, turn me on dead, man. It's just creepy stuff. I appreciate the call, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're solving the world's problems right here on the show. Let's go to Peter Prophet right now. Hi, Peter. You're on Ground Zero. Is it Peter there?
Yeah.
Hey, Peter, what's up?
Well, I could say that I was listening to the bell sounds, and I just wanted to remark, I got several comments, but on the bells, they're just in there to distract people from some other sound that will occur.
You know, actually, Peter, let me interrupt you real quick, because we were talking about that off mic. The first clip we played of the number station reminded me of, I don't know if anybody out there has ever hit the play button on those little CAPTCHA things that want you to input words to, you know, verify you're a human on a website. For the sight impaired, they have the button, and you can listen to it. And it contains the letters, but it's mixed in with all this garbled other noise so that it could fool algorithm robots who are trying to spoof or fish something. It sounds like that.
Mm-hmm. There's compressed binary code information in a sound that will occur in sometimes in a split second or sometimes over a couple of seconds.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know. It's a strange. So what do you think these number stations are?
Well, I think they're apparently coming from all over the world, so I think they're like third-rate covert stations.
Mm-hmm. So they're sending out covert messages.
Compared to the very top that the U.S. can do, I think they're probably all pretty third-rate.
The top that the U.S. can do? Are you sure? I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's just numbers. What are you talking about, top? I mean, what? It's a shortwave radio deal.
Anything that catches our attention is probably not top. It's probably, you know, third-rate. I mean, the stuff that we don't notice at all.
I think that that's what's so brilliant about it.
That's some hubris
there,
I think.
It's hidden in plain sight.
I mean, MI6 uses this, too. You realize that. MI6 uses it. Israel used it up until the 90s. And Russia uses it.
Hidden in plain sight isn't what I'm talking about. See, if it's hidden in plain sight, then really you missed it.
Well, then obviously something that is being used as code right now is being done in front of us, and we're not really absorbing it, right? Something subliminal.
Yeah, subliminal stuff, and you got it.
All right. Well, thank you for the call.
But wait a minute. I got one more comment.
Quick, because we got to go quick.
Okay. My own very short one-line predictive program dismantled the Berlin Wall.
And what was that? Please? Are we going to go to another call?
Well,
I can't wait. We got to go.
That Reagan can propose the dismantling of the Berlin Wall.
Okay. All right. Well, good. I appreciate that. Thank you. Let's
but
go.
There's,
what?
Okay.
Okay, I got.
There's a difference between yours and my predictive programming. In mine, God tells me it will work.
Well, good. I'm glad that God is on your side, and I appreciate that. I got to go to. I got to go.
He gives me a clue that it'll work.
Okay. Okay. Well, good. I'm glad.
Thank
you're.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thanks. Whew. Okay. I want to play another number station, and then I want to tell you about a number station. How many more we got? We got two or three. You know. Three? Okay, let's do one, and then we'll do another one. We'll do people want. You guys want to hear more number stations, don't you? Chat room? Anyone? Okay, let's do another number station. We've got to get that out of our mouth. Here we go. Here's another number station. What's really creepy about these stations is they're hard to find, they're unlicensed, The biggest cover-up of all is that no one ever admits to running one or making the broadcasts, and this lends credence to the idea that the stations themselves are automated and move from location to location to avoid detection. And I want to tell you that we now, what was just a few weeks ago, we were talking about a missile that was fired off the coast of Los Angeles. And that missile, I mean, we knew they were going to be firing it because we looked at all the documentation. They probably sent out numbers station. They did warnings. And now we told you. We said, look, if there's going to be war happening, you'll know that that was a real missile. Well, war's happening. We're in the middle of a war, North Korea, South Korea. But there was something else that happened that I wanted to let everybody know about. And that is there was a broadcast. And this is why I wanted to bring up the number station, especially after what's happened in Portland, after we have talked, both James Evan Pilato and myself, about predictive programming, about blackjack and how this has gone down. Sarah said it's gone down. Everybody else is backing me up on this. And I'm telling you now, the bank run, I'm telling you buy silver, I'm telling you do this, do everything to prepare yourself for what's about to happen. What happened, and this has happened in August of 2010, just a couple months ago, it was reported that a numbers operating station had sent out a coded thing. It was amateur decoders were listening, and they heard it. It was UVB-76. That's the call sign of the shortwave radio transmission, and it was broadcast with Russian Morse code. There also was a buzzer sound that had the sound of an alarm clock, had a kind of a flat battery sound, and then they said that since 1982, there were only three times when this buzzer signal went out, and it was going out to certain agents. Well, on August 23rd, 2010, they heard either a Russian voice or a Hebrew voice say the following. They said, it said UVB-76... UVB-76, 93882, Nymenia, or Nymina, 74, 14, 35, 74, 93882, Nikolai, Anna, Ivan, Mikhail, Ivan, Nikolai, Anna, 741, 43574. Now, many people were surprised that this channel was broadcasting because it hadn't broadcast in a while. And if you take Nikolai, Anna, Ivan, Mikhail, Ivan, Nikolai, Anna, it spells the word Naimna, which is Russian for Naimina, which means here are the names of the people that are about to give you names. Now, someone who had decoded and listened to this for the longest time said that the codes that they were getting were indicating, and this was what they said, that Russian President Dmitry Medvedev would be assassinated in September of 2010, that they were planning on assassinating him. Now, they said that the North Koreans were going to assassinate Medvedev. Now, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. Of course, intelligence changes, and maybe operatives couldn't get to him, or maybe that was, but anyway, the codebreaker said that it was going to happen in September of 2010, and then he said after that, that there would be a war scenario attempt where both North and South Korea would be at war with one another full-on in October of 2010. Okay? Now, James?
Pretty close there.
Yeah. It didn't happen in October, but it happened in November.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The decoder was off by 1 month, and Russian President Medvedev is still alive, as far as I know. Then it said that the words coming through that was that the United States and Japan were going to join South Korea during the ceasefire as China will side with North Korea because there will be a ceasefire, mm-hmm. small ceasefire. And then the plan then would be to use nuclear weapons, and they said that one of the targets would be Los Angeles. Now, there's a movie coming out in March called Battle LA. Now, wouldn't that be interesting if this is all some sort of a predicted programming scam. When aliens are attacking L.A., then in reality it's not aliens, but some other force is going to attack L.A.
And this, you know, the mystery missile a couple of Mondays ago off the coast of California.
Yeah, and it was a missile that went up. People were afraid it was a nuke, and they were testing probably what's going on. But then apparently there's supposed to be some sort of terrorist move on the East Coast. They're going to somehow get on board with planes, buses, and trains, which would indicate that the TSA, of course, is doing what they're doing because they've been tipped off to something. Stock market would then crash. Civil unrest would ensue. President Obama would then be moved to an undisclosed location. And But I want to tell you, this is only a prediction. And only one of them have come true, and it was off by a month. But we need to understand that intelligence isn't always perfect. Okay? Intelligence is always perfect. And so I'm telling you, some of the things that I do know is that they are going to do some sort of a bank run on the 7th of December in Europe. That we should have silver all bought and paid for by the 11th of December. And people are buying it. The price is going up. And there's a reason I'm telling you to do all this is because I'm thinking, like I said, intelligence isn't perfect. Because I'd been talking about blackjack for at least a year and a half before this happened. I did it last June. I did it the June before on James Evan Pilato's program. You've heard the people call and say they remember in the chat room. They're putting up pictures of me standing near the vans talking about what I was talking about, taking this predictive programming. Now I'm playing you these number stations to show you that, yes, there was a number station scenario that was played out in the TV show Fringe, which is predictive programming. So somehow that information is getting out that way. The game Call of Duty, Black Ops, the new game that everybody stood in line for to buy, it's probably going to end up under your Christmas tree, has number stations in it. And what I want to do is I want to play you another number station. This will be our final one tonight. It's probably the creepiest of them all. Here goes. What you're listening to is a number station, and they send out information to would-be agents, perhaps even terrorists, and they're decoded. And this is the new way, actually the new old way, to get the information out there. Not sending emails out like our little terrorists did here in Portland. Not having bombs being made by the feds. This is the real thing. This is something you need to be interested in. Something that is far more fascinating, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. A truth is stranger than fiction.
It is. And, I mean, we give you information here that's very important. James, thank you for being on the program.
Hey, man, I am so appreciative. I just want to quickly tell folks, MediaMonarchy.com, independent alternative media. I do weekly radio shows, videos, interviews, tons of things that, again, we take from the mainstream media and we give it the context and give it the subtext to tell you that there's more going on behind the scenes.
Exactly. I wanted to let everybody know tonight that we have discontinued working with ZeroPointRadio.com. A lot of people have had questions about that, and if you want to know the details, you can email me. I don't want to divulge too much, only that we cannot work with them anymore. And another thing, people want to know how my health is doing. I had to delay my doctor's appointment because of our relationship with ZeroPointRadio.com, some things that went down. I'm still looking for donations. If you'd like to donate to me, do it on the front page of my website. I still need that money for my tests. I really appreciate you listening tonight. Thank you. We'll see you next week. I'll give you more information about my health on Ground Zero. Take care. Good night.
Rocking. From the lug nuts of Woodburn to the lions of Chinatown.
It's 101 KUFO.
Portland's Rock.